Hello, this is Michael Harrison from the Baltimore Opera Company. Welcome to Solaria. Today we continue our conversation with John Frederick West, one of the leading Heldon tenors of our time. Mr. West was recently in Baltimore, singing the title role in the Baltimore Opera Company's production of Verdi's Otello. John Frederick West was born and raised in Dayton, Ohio, and has gone on to a remarkable operatic career that has taken him to virtually all of the prestigious opera companies of Europe, including the Wiener Staatsoper, the Berlin Staatsoper, and the Royal Opera House at Covent Garden. He specializes in the dramatic or Heldon tenor repertoire and is one of the most sought-after Wagnerian tenors in the business. He has triumphed in the roles of Siegfried, Tannhäuser, and is one of the few singers in the world who has successfully performed the role of Tristan. Our conversation last week centered on the Italian dramatic repertoire. But of course, I couldn't end my conversation with John without asking him about his approach to the role of Tristan. Well, you mentioned your Heilige Kunst. I immediately think of my Heilige Kunst, which is a role you do all the time in one of my very favorite operas, Tristan and Isolde.
Ah, yes.
I think that when you get to the end of that, if you weren't completely wiped out and moved emotionally and spiritually, then you as an audience person have not allowed yourself to get the message. And, you know, for singing Tristan, you've been called the greatest Tristan in the world. I have to say that I agree with that.
Well, thank you.
And I don't mean to be giving a backhanded compliment here, but there are only two of you, really, left, I should say, you know, and it's amazing that we've got to that point where there aren't at least five or six people.
Yes, you know? I agree.
There might not be 20, okay? I don't know that there were ever 20.
Right, right.
But there are two. And we have a couple of people who may grow into, Tristantinos, you know.
Yes.
And they may come up, or Tristanchen, or some, whatever you want to say.
Many of those look very good.
And they look very good. And they can't quite make it to the end of the third act, can they?
No.
How do you do it? I know you have stamina, but it is, after all, 4 hours of stamina, and then the third act is about all the stamina that anyone could ever possibly have, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, with any long opera, and Otello included, you have to make a map, like a map of a city, to get from point A to point Z, X. You have to get to those points. So you have to decide how you're going to do it. Now, the first point is you have to take the composer at his most obvious in the score. Well, what makes actually Tristan so hard, and why I'd rather sing Siegfried or Tannhäuser, is because Wagner was going through one of his poor times, which, when was he not, you know? Except after he convinced the world that he was the world's greatest, and then, of course, he had all the money from the Wagner Society's rolling in. But at that point, he was still very poor, so he was writing literally 10 to 15 score pages of Tristan at a time, turning them into his publisher for his advance. And that's exactly how it feels in the voice. Every 10 or 15 pages is a different tenor, unlike Carmen, where José is at least given an act to be a different
tenor. To change.
But with look at the second act of Tristan. You come in and first you're the biggest Heldon tenor that ever hit earth.
Yes.
And then immediately he changes sort of into a spinto for the rest of the duet. And then we go to a Liederabend that would best be served by Fritz Wunderlich.
That's at the end of the duet.
With the Liebes duet. And then we come to the last part of it, which then gets more steam and becomes an Italian dramatic tenor. And then we get to the very end, which O König, and then we have a beautiful, just a medium-weight lyric tenor singing. And he changed at every point. So what makes it difficult is that you have so many different things to respond to vocally so quickly, just like that. And in that sense, it's not unlike Verdi's Otello, except Otello is even shorter in its demands, shorter in response time. So you have to map out exactly how much you're going to give based on what's written and the character, the mood of the moment, and exactly how much you're going to give at every act. And of course, the key is not to give so much, even if you risk sounding like you're warming up. Of course, that was Windgassen was famous for that. Everybody that heard Windgassen live said, well, he always sounded like he was warm. You know, he'd just gotten out of bed in Act One. He was just warming up in Act Two. And then he would bowl us over in Act Three. And we'd just absolutely be on our feet by the end of it. And in a sense, that is the secret
maybe
to Tristan.
He didn't dare sing too much prior to the performance.
Well, no. Know? I mean, he had, and that is the smart way to go and not worry about overpowering. Because after all, the first act is Isolde's act.
Yes.
That
definitely
is her thing, and that's her
so
third
you should
act.
Rest maybe a little
well,
bit.
Well, take
then.
It easy. You know, I'm depressed, babe. You know, I love you a lot. I don't understand why you're treating
don't
me this way.
Don't make me drink that,
I'm
right?
I'm depressed, right, you know. So play it as easy as you can, truthfully, but as easily. Save the voice, and then let it come out for the second act, and then by then you have gained the stamina and the steam needed for the third act. And, of course, the real secret to the third act is to sing it. Oftentimes people have, we go back to the Melchior years, which I was not in later. I don't believe Lauritz was really ever a tenor. He was a baritone that accomplished 10 to 15 years of very fine, great Helden tenor singing. But after that, after 40, 42, it was not good. It didn't function properly in his voice any longer. And so he was unable to sing the third act. So he just made these gross generalities of pitch and mood and almost Sprechstimme from
yes.
beginning to end. That's wrong. You need to sing it. You need to inflect all the acting through singing. And find the voice for that. Then you've got something interesting and something that makes sense. And in that sense, I think the only model to go with there is Mr. Vickers, because he did find
he
the singing of the third act.
He certainly sang it.
That's correct. And that I mean, for my money, his third act was his best work in Tristan.
I agree with that, having seen it several times.
Yes, yes.
With Nilsson in that wonderful production
yes,
that he did.
Yes, and well, so that is the key, and you've got to rigidly stick to it. And if you get complaints, well, you know, the first act sounds light or this. And inevitably, there are all those people who want to complain because they want their money's worth and they want blood in every act. Heck with them.
Scream it from beginning to end.
That's right. Heck with them.
Well, that's not the way it's written. And, of course, yeah. as you pointed out earlier, you know, maybe we've gotten too much knowledge and not enough finesse about opera because many times the audience does think that it knows a lot, but it doesn't know what's on the printed page, what's written,
obviously.
And what the markings are.
That's correct.
And the composers did have a great feeling for finesse of the mm-hmm. character.
That's right.
So they were writing, and that's why, you know, the old famous thing is, well, God, why is he singing so softly? You know. Well, yes. There's a good reason
that's
for that.
Right. Exactly.
One of the great disappointments to me is that there is still no full-length recording of Tristan, CD with you on it. And heaven only knows that ought to be rectified soon.
I wish, as unfortunately, which many of the audience may not know, CDs are almost dead. Well, you go to Vienna now, and the president of what was part of Polygram is now working at the library in Vienna. That's how bad it has gotten. No one is buying CDs because, of course, they've gotten flooded the market with too many recorders. How many Traviatas, even if they're great, do we all want in our library? I mean, there's only room in anybody's house for so many. And so I hesitate to say, but the word on the scene is that CDs are dead, and record shops or CD shops now are closing up right and left. They can't sell what they have, and of course, when we have mediocre performances on CD coming out, as we have had many, Nobody wants them.
Yeah, they don't buy them.
And so what it looks like, the latest thing from the meet 'em, you know, in the South of France where everybody gets together, meet 'em and greet 'em. it looks like what we are going to be going to is DVD. So unfortunately, Tristan's not up, but I am putting a new DVD down of Siegfried.
Good.
The modern production of Stuttgart, which is the, to this day, it's the best modern production I've ever been involved in. And it's absolutely a wonderful production.
I remember you told us how much you enjoyed
wonderful.
It.
You know. Very much so.
And now we will hear Helden tenor John Frederick West in a section of the third act of Tristan and Isolde. This is a performance from the reopening of the Prinzregententheater in Munich, Germany. Lauren Mazel conducting.
Thank you.
You have just heard a portion of the third act of Tristan and Isolde, sung by John Frederick West at the Prinz Regentheater, Lorne Mazel conducting the Bayerische Rundfunk. Is there a Parsifal in the future?
Well, not yet. I would like to, but I've had some questionings on it. But as you know, it's rather a short role and actually easy in a way. And of course, the problem with Parsifal for me is you have to be there for the rest of it, which I'm sorry, I hate to sound irreligious to Wagner, but it's a bit long-winded.
It's not like the Italian tenor in Rosenkavalier, right? You come in, sing your aria, and go home.
Right. I have trouble with that. When there's other things I'd like to do, such as Peter Grimes and so on and so forth, that I haven't had the chance to get
Haven't done Peter Grimes, ever?
No, and I've sung the aria, I've sung the duets, I've sung the mad scene, but never as a whole role. And before I get too old, I'd like to be able to do that. So
we should fix that.
That would be lovely.
I know I asked you this before. I don't remember your answer, but I'm going to ask it again.
Okay.
What is your perfect day?
Well, my perfect day, we have a small but a lovely little piece of property in Yonkers that is completely covered by oak trees. So no matter how hot it gets, it's always 10 degrees or 12 degrees cooler in our backyard. And my perfect day is to sit out in my lounge chair out there and have a glass of wine and grill up some hot dogs or a steak or something and just sit there and enjoy nature. For me, vacation is to stay at home and have everybody come to see me. That is it for me, and I think that's my perfect day because, you know, I get what other people want to have, that, you know, the fine foods, the fine restaurants, and meeting different peoples and cultures. And
all the capitals of the world, you get that.
That's right, and that's, of course, although I get it as a worker, not as a vacationer, so there are things that, unfortunately, I can't see, museums and so on and so forth, that I just simply don't have the energy to do. But other than that, I do get other aspects of total culture that many people would love to have. So the opposite becomes true for me. I just want to be home.
What a great answer. I concur heartily. Thank you, John Frederick West. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you.
To have you back in
Always
Baltimore.
A pleasure for me.
And we'll hope for many more.
Please.
Send us an email with your questions and suggestions to our website at baltimoreopera.com. Solaria is produced by Deborah Goetz, Marketing and Communications Director for the Baltimore Opera. This is Michael Harrison from the Baltimore Opera, wishing you a life filled with the joy of opera and great music.